Long ago, seven Dragon Balls were forged and scattered over the face of the planet. Once united, the Eternal Dragon will be called forth to grant the Discoverer a single wish.
Hey everybody, it's Thursday, February 16th, 2012. You're listening to The Jump Cast, the only weekly manga podcast that you've already read the spoilers for. I'm Imran Khan, and with me this week is Mike, Japanese fans are creepy, Lemieux, and Greg, two chapters, Jan.
Yeah.
Only two chapters?
Well, you were just screaming, two chapters.
Berserk.
Because Berserk is apparently going on hiatus again after two chapters.
Non-jump manga Berserk.
Still manga.
Yeah. Just well, point, that's a record for jumping off topic, though, I guess. First minute.
Though it did kind of amuse me how in Naruto this week, Kishimoto got everyone excited last week. Like, everyone's blood pumping and just took a baseball bat to the pacing.
Just screaming halt, like car tires squealing, swerving sideways.
Hey, remember these guys?
No.
I think he wanted all that excitement to transfer towards Sasuke. Because, I mean, the description is Sasuke came back, and he was Sasuke for a while, and then you found all of Sasuke's friends talking about Sasuke, and literally crying about Sasuke.
Can we agree that these are Sonic's shitty friends?
Sasuke's friends?
Yeah, Sasuke's shitty friends. That nobody likes, but they keep appearing.
I like how they Jar Jar Binks their way into Orochimaru's hidden study that presumably Kabuto would know about.
And that there was a scroll lying open on a table facing a wall.
That managed to not get destroyed in the ensuing punch or whatever.
What's his name? Suigetsu could immediately understand. And
well, of course, you have to raise the stakes a little bit, right? I mean, that's no more ridiculous than not having the picture confiscated when the girl's thrown in prison. And, oh hey, there's lockpicking devices inside of it.
And her glasses have serrated edges on the side.
Karen was supposed to be good now.
Yeah, I thought her and Sakura were bros last we saw. That she had helped them out.
Really, she was giving them intel and whatnot, and she seemed to be freaked out by Sasuke somewhat the last time, but I wouldn't go so far as to say that they were buddy-buddy.
I do like that she appears to be in a straight jacket, so.
I didn't notice between that and her regular clothes.
It's all padded. Doesn't seem to be tied up, but.
Now, the only thing that threw me about this chapter, and I'm not sure whether this is something which was shown and I've just forgotten about it, or if they're mentioning that it was done off-screen, but did Sasuke kill Black Zetsu?
No, he killed White Zetsu, the original.
Mizukage killed Black Zetsu, I think.
Actually, Mizukage, what's his name? Seven Swordsman guy with the glasses and the headphones.
Oh, that guy.
That's right. I was just trying to recollect when they were talking about killed the original, and so I wasn't sure that I had forgotten about that scene, I suppose.
They show him kill a White Zetsu when he's escaping, but it's never explicitly said that that's the original one. So.
Well, that seems mildly anticlimactic.
Yep.
Well, I've been complaining for the last week that the actual Mizukage versus Zetsu fight, like, they hype it up, they teleport her there, and she's like, okay, I'm going to defend all these world politicians and whatever, and then the entire fight is off-screen.
Yeah, actually, I was looking for that. Most of it's on-screen. I think you just forgot because it's, like, a quarter of a chapter.
Is it?
It's two pages right before she's transported to the Madara fight. they wrap it up super quick.
How much every single other member of Akatsuki got talked up and built up and were like these epic long battles over the course of chapters, to have that one person who's the other one that stuck around this long just be almost an afterthought, and his only purpose seems to be cannon fodder for lots of different people, that seems kind of sad.
That's kind of like how Kisame was like the last regular one standing, and there was nothing special about him.
Whatever happened, wasn't he in B's sword for a while?
He came out, I think. Something happened. He's a zombie now.
But don't they need his body to be a zombie?
No, they could just use anybody's body.
Yeah, I mean, Sasori didn't even have a body, and they somehow revived him.
All right, so bets on who Sasuke is going to interrupt first. I feel like there's a decent chance he's going to save the Hokages from Madara.
Well, I think he's going to run into Itachi and they're going to fight.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the first thing.
I don't know. There's a decent number of places he could go first. And it seems like whatever's going to make him look strongest is what he'll do first.
Well, no. I think that it's going to be him fighting Itachi again, because they pretty much set up the end of this past chapter. The two of them are about to face one another.
But where's Itachi? Because last we saw he was just with Naruto, then went off on his own.
Yeah, he went off looking for Sasuke.
He's off on his own, doing stuff, jumping around, being a zombie.
Okay, then I amend this to say that I think him and Itachi will take down Madara.
I could see that. Uchiha versus Uchiha versus Uchiha kind of thing.
Because, like, I've been saying for weeks that when Sasuke shows up, it's just all about him.
Oh, God. That's what I want to say. I want to say screw you for saying that you should stop following Naruto and do something else. This is your fault.
Well, I thought they should go back to the Hokage Madara fight. But I've known in my heart that it's going to be go back to Sasuke eventually, and the pacing will just grind to a halt.
You're all like, I'm tired of this Naruto fight. I want something different. Look at what you got.
I want something that, like, there was no sense of building to this. It was just a really hyped up thing about Naruto, and then immediately after, it was everyone talking about Sasuke.
There wasn't
a good opportunity for a segue between those two events, I suppose. Other than perhaps the communication guy who's near the one girl who's in prison, but...
I mean, would it have been better if we'd seen what his friends were doing, like, in the past chapters, not all crammed into one chapter? Like, if Karen...
No, I think that chapter was fine. I think it's just that this one felt a little too schizophrenic, because the other members of Hebi or whatever the group is going by, yeah. It seems like they have seemed so tangential to the rest of the plot line that's going on. Like, they didn't even know that there was a war going on. So bothering trying to bring them back into things at this stage just seems reaching.
You know what's weird is that, like, Suigetsu's entire motivation was revolved around the Seven Swordsmen. But they've already come and gone in the story. That was kind of a weird missed opportunity.
Yeah, he wanted to collect their swords, didn't he?
Yeah, and they're all toast now. Like, they were back, and it was a great opportunity.
I wonder if Kishimoto remembers everybody's motivations.
He does have a pretty huge cast.
Well, Suigetsu doesn't even have his sword anymore, does he? I thought he lost Zabuza's sword.
There's
so much stuff that's been happening the past couple of years, I don't think any of us really remember.
I think the samurai took it, didn't they? When they got jumped?
Wouldn't surprise me.
And the samurai conveniently not participating in the war at all.
Yeah, they were.
No, they're involved. They're just not don't see them important.
Anymore. Yeah, you only saw what's-his-name, the old guy, the head samurai.
They were supposed to be like the equivalent of like master ninjas in terms of power.
I thought the heads were, but...
They did a pretty decent job of like styming Sasuke.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that like Sasuke's what was his name? Jugo?
Yeah.
For some reason, every time I look at him, he looks like Choji's evil brother. And I can't like shake that feeling every time he shows up. Because I can't take him seriously.
The round face or something?
Yeah, the round face, the weird hair. It just like Kishimoto got really lazy with the design there.
Well, he got really lazy with his designs for a while there. And come to think of it, it was about the time that these characters were introduced, so.
Yeah, so none of us were a fan of this chapter.
Not really.
Nah, not really. I mean, it's...
I don't mind Sasuke being back itself. It's just this chapter felt like such a step back from what had been happening.
I mean, I don't necessarily... Oh, I do mind Sasuke being back, but if it had been an exciting chapter with Sasuke, it would have been a lot better. But it was just Sasuke shows up, everybody talks about Sasuke, kills some people.
I think what bugs me is that his fights are so uninteresting. Like, the fights against a bunch of Zetsu, he just opens his eyes and they all die. You know, that's not fun to read.
Which is also a shame, because in the past, his fights were probably the most... Like, what's it called? The one against... with him versus the exploding power guy. I'm terrible with
names. Oh, Deidara.
Yes, against Deidara. That fight was actually really well done. It was well choreographed and everything else.
Yeah.
But that was one of his few good fights post-time skip. I mean, the Orochimaru one was kind of stupid.
That was a fight?
Well, what was it? He went into Orochimaru's head and stopped him?
Yeah. Something like that.
Vice whatever. Versa, I think, but yeah.
Yeah, whatever the case was, he basically overpowered somebody who was, up till then, the strongest villain in the series.
Yeah, you guys remember when Orochimaru was the Lord Voldemort of the series? Like, everybody feared him to no end, and now he's just kind of a joke.
Yeah, I mean, when they cut off his arms, it was still supposed to be kind of scary, because that didn't stop him that much. It stopped
once he lost the power of his arms and whatnot, it removed a lot of that fear, I suppose. It
made things pointless because he immediately got a new body just to wait for Sasuke.
Yeah,
which I was like, it would make sense if he were weak and had to hide for the next couple of years, but then he starts showing up again. And still being just as strong. I don't think Kishimoto really knew what he was doing with Orochimaru.
I think he built up Orochimaru as a villain and then kind of stopped liking Orochimaru. So he kind of had to write him out.
But then he's the first villain post-time skip. And then he just kind of quickly disposed of.
No, he's not the first. Is he? Did they run into Sasuke?
They run into him before they run into
Sasuke. They do the stuff with the sand first, right?
Oh yeah. Because right. Sai joins them after that.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always think like the bridge thing is the first thing they did. I always forget the sand arc.
What was it? In the anime, they showed at least a portion of that, and then basically jump backwards in time and do the rest of it, and then come back to it. So if
that makes sense, because it was more exciting.
Yeah, that was the first big crescendo of the story post time skip.
Yeah.
That also amuses me because that was Kishimoto trying to explicitly show that Sakura has caught up to her other teammates. And then he kind of pushed her to the back again.
Well, he's never been good, really, with the female characters in his squads. I think it's funny how every squad is... I don't remember who it was who originally described him as this, but there's the quiet badass, the spaz, and the tits. And every single squad in the entire series has that same trio.
Huh.
Who's the spaz in Gaara's? They're both kind of the quiet guys.
Well, that's Sand, and Sand is different. Sand was explicitly designed to make them appear to be the badasses of the Chunin exam.
But yeah, I mean, that fits to a T. You know, just the way Kishimoto designed his characters, they all can kind of fit into those general archetypes, and the female one is always just girl. Like, they never have any personality beyond that. Except Karen. Karen's actually kind of funny, I think.
In that she's basically Sasuke's groupie.
Yeah. I find that kind of funny. The psychopathic nature of her.
Yeah, she's more interesting than a lot of the other females in the series, which is kind of sad.
At least she's not standing in the background going like, I have to make myself stronger so I can support the boys.
But it's not the boys, it's Sasuke.
Oh, the boy.
She is Kishimoto, essentially.
Well, what's funny, and this can lead into one of our other topics. In Shonen Jump Alpha, which is the web production which they're now releasing in America, at the end of their first volume, they had an interview with Kishimoto and asked him, various things, most of which we already know. But one of the questions was who his favorite characters are right now, and he actually did not answer Sasuke.
Gasp.
Was Sasuke not in the manga at the time?
Well, you know what all is going on right now. So there were two people he listed. I want to see if you guys can guess either of them.
Naruto?
No.
Shikamaru?
Nope. One of them is probably everybody's favorite character. So.
Oh, Lee?
Nope.
Oh, really?
Nobody likes Lee, apparently.
Yeah. The two are...
Nobody likes Kitamaru.
I like Kitamaru.
The surprising one is, or it just kind of random, is Choji, which I suppose he had a little bit more screen time during the war than some of the other people. And then Killer Bee.
Oh, okay. I can understand that.
It always surprised me how, after the Rescue Sasuke arc, he basically threw away all those characters. Like, Shikamaru, none of them really became important again.
Yeah, what is
what
Kiba
bothered
done?
Me about, I suppose, that arc and everything else was, prior to that, like, especially in the Chunin exam, it seemed like there was variety within the abilities the people had. And they each had their one forte, which tended to be the thing that they did, but they also, you know, used the kunai, or they might have been able to have other abilities beyond what their theme was. And then post-time skip, it seems like everybody has their one motif, and they never do anything else. And I think that the development in that direction is actually a lot of what seems to have been lost from that early period of the series.
Remember when Shikamaru was like this incredible once-in-a-lifetime genius, and then his only plan post-time skip was, let's lure this guy to a place with a bunch of explosives?
Yeah, hope he stands in the right spot. Also, not knowing the full extent of his powers, hope this actually kills him.
I assume he's still there, because he can't die.
He's still alive. There's no zombie for him, because he's not dead. He's just buried underground. Which is kind of messed up, if you think about it.
Yeah, the only one who actually achieved immortality. That was the interesting thing about Akatsuki, was that they all seemed to have found different ways of making themselves immortal to a certain degree.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a good point. Sasori had the fake body. Kakuzu.
The one guy had the multiple souls, skull things in his body.
I guess Deidara was like immortality through art.
Itachi had crows.
Yeah. Throat crows.
Which they never actually bothered to really explain. It was just, okay, these crows are something he can do.
It's
well,
thematic.
I thought that it was his illusion thing.
Maybe.
The genjutsu.
But they were physical, because they came out of Naruto.
Or, you know, he saw it, I don't know.
In his head. I didn't think that they actually physically came out of him.
Sometimes people react to things in ways that they seem physical, but they're not. Just because it's weird.
Genjutsu became pretty much only the domain of the Uchiha after a while. Like, there used to be pretty specialized people.
Wait, remember when Sakura's thing
pregnant teacher.
Yeah, Kurenai.
Yeah, and it was also the realm of filler. There was a whole lot of that in the filler in the anime.
Because it was a good reason to make all the backgrounds blank.
Wavy purple fog.
Yeah. Which I'm still convinced that Kishimoto designed that first arc in preparation of an anime.
So all the backgrounds are gray?
Yeah. Because everything just fog for episodes and episodes.
Possibly.
Speaking of just fog for plenty of time, you guys read Bleach and I didn't this week.
You're the lucky one.
How was it?
It wasn't that bad. The main thing is that it showed that two of the other factions beyond what we were expecting are also going to be involved in this, because there is the appearance of an Arrancar that we've never seen before, so of course he's going to be super powerful or something, whatever. And then I actually didn't realize this until I was just glancing through it not too long ago, but in the first couple pages, they also show some of the Vizards as well. So I guess not all of them went back to Soul Society.
At least three of them, Haruko, Lisa, Love, and Hachi, four of them. So.
Yeah. And there's like rips in the space-time soul continuum.
Yeah, some kind of weird mouth-looking thing is appearing.
Yeah. But then, other than that, people talk.
So, did you find this chapter like as schizophrenic as I did? Like,
not really. I just didn't see the. I think it was the only schizophrenic was the jumping from the first two pages, which were the Vizards, which it was a little weird to start the chapter on people that we haven't seen.
Well, that's kind of what that's kind of what the last chapter did too. Was start on something completely unrelated and then jump to Ichigo and friends.
Yeah, I suppose. Oh, yeah, we also did find out one other thing, too, which is that there's people disappearing from Rugenkai, the town in Soul Society.
Oh, yeah, that town got brushed away fast. They pretty much never talked about it once they got into the Soul Society gates.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, there's people disappearing there, and so you see some of the lieutenants and stuff running someplace talking about that.
Which, by the way, what we see is Ikkaku. There was something on his arm. I couldn't figure out what it was. It
looked like a tattoo or something like that, right?
I don't know. It's like armor or something. I was wondering if he became like a vice captain or something. I wouldn't think
perhaps,
so.
Perhaps, yeah.
So this one also feel like...
Well, no, he still said that the 11th squad or whatever it is, so he hasn't changed squad, so he'd still
maybe
be...
Maybe it's just a change in his design.
Yeah.
Did this one feel like that they retrofitted it to be a final arc chapter again, or?
Absolutely, because at the end, a bad guy comes out of literally nowhere to introduce himself.
And is standing on Ichigo's bed, and he is angry about that.
Yeah, it's just, like, Ichigo's talking
to him. And actually, don't necessarily know if he's a bad guy. I'm personally suspecting that this is going to be, like, an emissary or something like that, and it's going to turn out that Nell is now the person who's ruling over Hoikomundo or something like that.
Could be. It still came out of absolutely nowhere. Like, people in that room vanished and other people showed up. And...
Well, no, they didn't vanish. They just weren't shown in the panel because it's showing behind him.
Yeah. I don't know. It felt like this got tacked on to the end of what would have been a different chapter. Kind of had that same vibe as last week.
I thought it felt like it was moving in a direction more than last week's did.
It did. They're setting up a lot of mysteries going on around Ichigo's world. So
see, but now's not the time to be setting up stuff.
Well, I think he means it's setting it up to have so much going on that it might actually be able to wrap up everything that is out there. Like, last chapter it seemed like it was just going off on this completely third direction. And
yeah,
that this final
Quincy.
Arc was going to be something that had nothing to do with anything previous. And this chapter seems to be, no wait, it's just going to be that big.
Because every single faction in Bleach was represented in this chapter. The Arrancar, the Vizards, the Soul Society, and Ichigo's group.
I know a few weeks ago we were saying that this final arc could easily last as long as a couple of years. Do you guys think it's still going to last that long, or is it just going to be, you know...
I don't know, maybe... It's kind of hard to tell.
Depends on how long the fights are. If he does the fights as long as he did last chapter, then maybe, you know, a year tops. The last arc, then maybe a year tops. If the fights are as involved as they usually are, it could go on for a couple of years.
By the way, Greg, did it do your heart good to see Ishida, Orihime, and Chad actually fighting?
Well, we didn't actually see them fighting. They were just kind of standing there.
It was it was implied that they fought.
Yes, it was a montage person who wakes up from a short coma remembering what happened sort of thing.
Yeah, when he was saved.
Yeah.
I'm still annoyed that Totsuki doesn't have powers.
She might.
You're going to bring that up every chapter?
It seems like such a weird oversight.
You're so passionate about it.
Just like it bothers me when a character who knows martial arts is not participating in any fights.
Maybe that's how this is going to end, is like everyone's going to get soul powers.
It would be
so
like
then that last arc of Beals must have driven you nuts then, with all those people who know how to fight not fighting, right?
But that was purposeful. That was subverting a shonen trope, that they give this time frame of this is going to happen in 1 week. and then everyone prepares that entire time, and it doesn't matter because Oga just did it all the night before.
So you actually caught up on Beelzebub, right?
Yep, completely caught up.
Okay, so we're all current?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, good. So this is one of our things now.
Well, I mean, let's go ahead and talk about that. What happens this week? Because okay, it came out today.
Got asked the question, what's your opinion of Furuichi?
Oh, yes.
He's clearly a pedophile.
Yes, but he's the best character.
Probably. He's an excellent straight man. Though I don't think they've been using him to his proper degree lately. Like, his best scene was when they were in hell, or the demon world, I suppose, and Baby Beel just kind of stepped around him and he didn't move. And they haven't done anything that funny with him since then.
I don't know, I've enjoyed him trying to make sense out of the increasing craziness that's going on.
I've enjoyed him being the butt of every joke of the entire universe.
I loved this chapter, the horsey joke, and you just see him in the distance, down on all fours, carrying a Beel.
Yeah, this is by far like the most normal Beel chapter in ages.
Really?
Because I mean,
little 2-year-old karate kicking someone and then riding her butler.
There's some terrible 2-year-olds.
That actually happens in the real world. It is possible that could happen in the real world.
I did enjoy the mob boss and Hilda arguing about which one was cuter.
And Hilda getting deathly serious about it.
Well, of course. Her master is the cutest.
No, they keep like they're pushing the Beel is maturing thing, but he doesn't look any different.
Oh, he's teething.
He's teething, you know.
Under the pacifier.
If he wasn't teething before, then why did he have a pacifier?
Because it suppresses something, something, something.
Did they actually say that, or?
I don't know. You read it.
No, I think it was just, you know, he was drawn that way.
I do
but
really
no,
like
the,
this.
The only reference that they ever made with the aging thing was that, like, apparently one or two teeth came in. It's not like he's, you know, aging.
Yeah.
Well, he's presumably aging at the speed of a regular baby, because Oga's had him for a few months.
Yeah, it was only been about 3 months in manga time, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think the longest time skip was, what, like a couple weeks to train for the demon fight?
There's a whole lot of, we're going to train for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden they can fight demons.
Which is fine for this type of manga.
Though, forgive me because I just caught up over the last week, but is it me or is their homeroom teacher Jekt from Final Fantasy X?
Totally, it's the beads.
It's like he has the headband and the beads and pretty much the exact same face design. Like, I didn't know if it was intentional, if there was a joke there.
Well, this manga does make a lot of game references, so I wouldn't be surprised if...
It makes a lot of very specific game references.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually looked it up. The author's only, like, 30. He's pretty young for a mangaka. And I looked up his history. He was the assistant on Siren before it got canceled.
Hmm.
And Beelzebub is his first manga.
And, I mean... It's not third. I mean, Oda started when he was very young, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was the prodigy.
Because he's only like 30 something now.
Yeah, like he's not that much older than us. Yeah, he was born in 75, so he's 37 right now.
And One Piece has been running for like
12 years.
12 years, yeah. That's what I was gonna say.
Yep, it started in 97, so he was
12 years.
He was 22 when it first started.
So he was essentially Ashiragimoto.
Yeah.
Well, I think he'd be Edgy, not...
Oh, yeah. I guess. Because Edgy was their same age.
Yes, and One Piece was super popular from the word go. Which, by the way, I read Wanted, or what was it called last week?
Yeah, Wanted's the first one, but it's that
collection,
five.
The collection is also called Wanted, but I read all those. Those were really good.
Yeah. I mean, and you definitely see what I mean about that one with the god with his pen. I can see somebody reading that and getting the idea for Death Note from that.
That was comedy Death Note.
Yeah.
So speaking of Bakuman, when I said your nickname before, Mike, which is Japanese fans are creepy, that was pretty much my first reaction to this chapter as well.
So I make you think of Japanese fans being creepy?
Well, I mean, yeah, kind of. Because like the second they found out Azuki had a boyfriend, they said stuff like, oh, I'm burning all of Hashiragi Mudo's stuff, or I'm selling all her tapes.
It is terrifying how accurate that is.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah,
it's,
well,
not,
no, what
it's not
was...
over-exaggerating.
My favorite reaction to that was there was somebody on Reddit slash our manga who posted about, is anybody confused as I am? It feels like this is a stretch and all this other sort of stuff. And somebody just posted a link to an actual article about Aki Toyosaki, who's a voice actress and whatnot, that it was revealed she has a boyfriend and people started sending her death threats and that sort of stuff. And like,
yeah,
it's literally, this is what happens.
That's the one that, like, they saw, like, a guy on her webcam or something, and then internet detected her address and started mailing her shit, right?
Yeah, and, like, they would post up pictures of her with, like, a knife pointed at her and bullets pointed at her, and, yeah.
Huh.
I guess this is going on with some other voice actors right now, that it came out that she may or may not have slept with a couple men, and so she's being burned at the stake.
I wonder if this is something that Takashi and Obata know about, like
a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah,
with this.
Because they very much, it's become very clear, Bakuman is not for the manga fan necessarily, because they don't seem to like the hardcore manga fan. Like the kind of guy with shelves of manga and living with his parents.
This seems to be, it's the kind of manga for us, like the casual but hardcore.
Yeah, people who are interested in it but not obsessed. And it seems like, what was the other guy's name? The
well,
fat
I think
guy.
That that's easy. I think that that's easy to say from our perspective. But I mean, the entire thing is that when you're getting into, and this is going way off topic, but getting into the current economic status of Japan and that sort of stuff, and the entire generation of neets and those sort of things, and how the jobs just simply aren't available because people aren't retiring and blah 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 blah. Without getting into, you know, hours of discussion about how many factors there are influencing it, we as casual observers outside of that, it's very easy for us to consume it as a, you know, casual thing. But for a lot of people over there, there is nothing to do other than consume culture, and unfortunately, with that much free time on your hands, baser instincts often surface in very, very nasty ways.
Well, there was an article a couple weeks ago about, they did a study and said, like, I think a third or up to half of Japanese men are not interested in women.
Yeah, and that Japan's, like, population is going to be cut in half in the next 50 years because
there's
that's a pretty serious problem.
I mean, did you read some of the quotes in that article? Because it was guys saying, I could go out and get a girlfriend and buy her presents and, you know, try and change for her, but that's a lot of work and I could really just watch this video instead. And that's what this chapter reminded me of, is that these guys are obsessing over Azuki, a girl they've never met. While Mashiro, like, knew her years and years ago and fell in love with her then.
Do you think Oba and Obata are holding up a mirror to their fans and saying, like,
it's possible.
Like, just look.
I mean, there's been so much else in this entire series where specific editors are based off specific people and those sort of things, that it would not surprise me if this is just them making a commentary on the industry.
So, as far as it goes for Bakuman's story, though, I thought this chapter was pretty good of, you know, the shoe dropping, that they're two people and their identities being revealed.
It was interesting, and it added some much-needed drama to the series that they kind of cut out recently with them getting an anime. But on the other hand, like, I'm still concerned, because if she doesn't get the part for whatever reason, I don't know where this series will go.
No, I bet I can tell you what happens next chapter, is that Mashiro and her are going to make a public statement, and their feelings are going to get through to the otaku, and they'll love her again and love them, and everything will be fine.
That seems like a bit of a stretch, which is kind of sad to say.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
I can see them trying to, like, position Reversi as, like, a true love story. Not the actual anime, but the Mashiro and Azuki's story getting out. About how they promised to each other years ago about her being a voice actress.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And, like, that's going to get through to them because that's, you know, hot-blooded anime stuff. They can understand that. That's speaking their language.
I really think that they're going to try and stay the course with the entire we haven't done anything wrong sort of aspect and just going along with things. I don't know.
Like, just ignored entirely?
I can maybe see them trying to delay Reversi. like Shonen Jump just saying there's too much drama
controversy
around this right now.
At the moment.
So we're going with a zombie gun.
That seems like a thing that would happen, because that wrapped up way too quickly.
I could see that, and maybe Edgy would argue against it or something.
Yeah, Edgy was a big supporter of Azuki and Mashiro when, I forgot her name. The girl who did Natural.
What is her name? Who cares?
Takagi's old flame.
She hasn't shown up in, like, dozens and dozens of chapters.
Well, yeah. That's what happened in Bakuman. Someone has an epiphany.
They get put on a bus.
Yeah. Nakai, that was the guy I was thinking of earlier. That
he's still tangentially in it.
But he shows up in Hiramaru chapters.
Yeah.
Supposedly getting thinner.
That always amused me that he was saying, like, I've lost 45 pounds and looks no different.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he deserves a happy ending, but I think they're going to give him one.
Well, Nakai was a character that I rooted for at the start of it.
Yeah.
But he just went down such a dark path that I don't think there's... I don't care if he gets a happy ending.
I kind of suspect that he's
basically... I'm ambivalent towards... if it happy ending comes, I won't feel bad. But if it doesn't come, oh well.
I get the feeling he's going to get drunk at Hiramaru and Aogi's wedding.
I could see that.
Oh man, I can't wait for that chapter now. That's totally what's going to happen.
He's going to be drunk as the best man, too, because you know that's going to happen.
Oh, best man's going to be Ahiragi Muto somehow.
Both of them.
Or, God, I can't remember his editor's name. Kanata?
Well, no, he knows the truth about him now, though, so of course he can't be the best man.
Hiramaru. Hiramaru, if they ever do spin off that Bakuman, he should be the star.
I still remember when he was introduced and he was like a threat for all of one chapter. Yeah. It was like the salary man that's a manga genius, and then you actually see him.
And I like how Fukuhara has just basically been relegated to occasionally calling in and informing them of the plot.
Yeah, like he's successful and has like an anime and a long-running series, so he just gets a corner.
But he's not like direct competition in the way that Eiji is.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious that, like, because things worked out for him, he doesn't get to be part of the story anymore.
Also, this is one of the first Bakuman without a twist ending at the very last panel. Or very last page, at least.
Yeah, that never really occurred to me, that they really fall back on that quite frequently, don't they?
There's a twist, the newspaper article exposing their identities.
But that's like a progression, that's not...
Yeah, that wasn't really a twist, because they brought that up earlier. And we kind of knew that was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because it wouldn't just, they covered it up quickly. That would be kind of be stupid.
Yeah, like, if you want stuff that twists coming out of the blue and no idea what the hell's going on, I think One Piece wins this week.
There you go. You picked up on the transition.
What? What are you guys talking about?
But yeah, One Piece, that was a very odd twist. Like, my very first reaction was, I'm pretty sure Oda's making it up as he goes along now.
Well, I think that the implication which is going on in this one, and this one's going to be coming completely out of the blue and pulling from way, way back, and I'm going to send you guys a link, two links in the chat as well so you can confirm. But got this from, once more, reading the Reddit thread and that sort of stuff. It might be possible that this island at one point, because if you remember all of the people that we've talked to that used to be from there, it was like 70 years in the past, the Eblaf, which is Fable spelled backwards, or Elbaf, sorry, which is Fable spelled backwards. And so, you know, then there's the dragon and there's the giants, which is where the giant babies are from. And that one woman could be a harpy. And if you look at way back when, they showed an image of the pirate flag of the giant guys, and it looks almost identical to the third symbol that was on Punk Hazard's gateway. I need to find the page with the Punk Hazard thing.
While you do that, I'm going to ask, you guys really didn't see giant babies coming? I mean, that was telegraphed through the whole chapter.
How?
Oh, I think he's being sarcastic.
If you didn't pick up on it, I'm not going to explain it.
I mean, I'm willing to believe.
Now, the one thing with the giant thing is, I mean, I don't think that the samurai legs are the same as the guy as the samurai head. I think that they're different people because the legs are huge. But
I think the head is the father of the legs because he said he's there to save his son.
Seems very plausible. Anyway, both of the links are up there now, and you can see what I'm talking about.
I wonder if it was a devil fruit that did that to him, though, because that sounds a lot like Law's power.
Yeah. I was thinking today, has anyone else in the crew actually met Law? Besides Luffy?
Nope. Don't think so. And then, of course, there's the question, has he... It just doesn't seem his style to become a Shishibukai, though. I don't know.
I could see it. I don't know. Law's always been kind of hard to read. Like, he kind of strikes me as a bad guy, but he hasn't really done any bad stuff.
He strikes me as a snowboarder, but
strikes me as a hipster. I mean, he's like the hat and the slouching, the hand tattoos.
At some point, those rookies have to show up again. Otherwise, there was pretty much no point in introducing them.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to show up in the new
year. If we're dealing with Law immediately, is it going to be like, you know, the link between all these stories is going to be catching up on the rookie 12 and seeing where they are? Because, I mean, if we're delving right into Law right away, you know, maybe we run into Kid next. And
because, I mean, if it's a devil fruit power, it's entirely too similar. The other possibility is that Vegapunk is using Law's power, just like he simulated Kuma's.
I mean, the head specifically says that he was cut up, right?
I think so, yeah.
Which is Law's power to a T, using his sword.
But I mean, they're also on an island called Punk Hazard, and with someone that is known to replicate powers.
Well, we don't know for sure that this is Vegapunk. We're just kind of assuming based off of the name.
It's weird. I mean, it would have to be a pretty big coincidence. Though I can't think of anything that coincidental in One Piece so far.
It is kind of strange that the head was locked up with them. You know, so whoever it is that kind of
it's probably just a convenient prison cell. They just toss everybody into it.
Right, but what I mean is that whoever did that to him and the legs is in league with these guys that kidnapped the rest of the Straw Hats. You know, because there is a link now between all of that. So
I'm amused that
they just found the head.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'm amused at how easily they got out.
Yeah, just blast the wall open.
Yeah, it's very sad. I don't think we're ever going to see Coup de Burst anymore.
Does it amuse you guys that presumably Brook is still asleep on the ship?
Or pretending to be asleep because he didn't have lungs.
Another thing, did you guys notice that the cell they're in is called Deck 102? Like the deck of a ship?
I had not noticed that.
Yeah, so they might not actually even be on the island anymore.
And I just have to comment, the samurai's face in the panel where he's saying that he likes how Nami looks is amazing.
Her indecent dressing.
Yes, which that was reminding me back to Water 7, which I have to admit, I was in his camp over Frankie's back in through NA's lobby.
Who, Polly?
Yep.
Yeah,
I think he would have been a better foil for the rest of the crew. I think that his personality would have had much more amusing interaction, and I realize I'm in the minority with that. But
like yelling at Robin and Nami all the time to dress more decently.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah. I'm still renew my weird suspicion at why Robin is part of the, like, Oda would not just put her with Luffy's group unless there was a reason.
She has a dream.
No, I don't mean like Luffy's group in general. I mean on the island.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure something's going, because they didn't have much progression in this chapter. It was mostly the B team.
Yeah. I mean, they found out they were on an island of dual weather.
Yeah. I am glad that they actually did eat the dragon. That's pretty funny.
It was tasty. And he has dragon strength now.
Yeah. And it also turned into like a big slab of manga meat. Somehow.
Well, it was cooked on the ground, you know.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm dismissing my theory that this is somehow the two admirals' battleground. That just doesn't seem to fit anymore. I'd mentioned that a couple weeks ago.
It's still possible. You never know.
I don't think so. I think you're right with the Fable Island. I'm in
which
that.
Which could also be a giant red herring. It's nothing like it's not like he hasn't done red herrings in the past.
So basically, we cannot make any guess how anything is going to go.
Pretty much.
We would have never predicted giant babies.
I wonder if the dragon is the kid's pet.
Their little pet dragon that they keep.
Mm-hmm. And Luffy's just going to willingly admit that he killed and ate him.
Is he going to have to fight the little babies?
I assume, like, I would not put it a past Oda to have Luffy punch one of the kids in the face. I wonder if this is the island where those two giants were from. Did they ever actually say that, where they're from?
Well, no, they said that they were from Elbaf.
Did they? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's where all giants come from.
Yeah, because the other two giants were former members of the crew of the other two. Yeah, which two were you talking about precisely?
The one before, I think it was either before they got to Alabasta or just after.
They were the ones who originally said that they were from Elbaf, and that's where we, you know, first heard of them. Right. The other two were members of those two guys' crew.
And now that you mention it, giants do frequently come in pairs, don't they?
Yeah.
Like,
there's.
Well, I mean, there's only the two pairs that we've seen, and then I guess the vice admirals.
And then Jaguar D. Robin's friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, giants.
Yeah, your mic's slightly cut off there, just so you know.
No.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those things where, like, it's hard to talk about this chapter because we have no idea what they're doing.
Which is why it's great. How long has it been since we've had that experience with One Piece?
At least an arc. I'm going to be kind of annoyed, like, if they never resolve some of the stuff from Impel Down. Like, if they just continue on this path of, like, oh, craziness and One Piece, and he never actually, Luffy never confronts Aka Inu or, God, what was his name? The warden.
Magellan.
Magellan.
Well, Magellan's, like, in the hospital and whatnot now, right? Yeah, I don't really think that he needs to confront Magellan necessarily. I could see that being done.
But it's a shonen series, and he lost.
Everybody loses to Magellan. There's no beating him.
It seems like if he had Chopper on his
side. I
don't
know. I think that you can say that he lost, but then he beat him the second time with the assistance of Mr. Three and everything like that, and they escaped, which was the point.
Yeah, I suppose.
Didn't him and Mr. Three do something with Lax that beat him up?
Yeah, like that they gave him the armor, and so then he was beating him up, so then he had to make that like ridiculous like poison which can dissolve anything, including the stones that were around, and so they made the giant wall, and he went Gear Third and kicked him, and...
Well, at least he has to confront Aka Inu.
Yes.
Yes, but they've set that up with him being the head of the Marines now.
Yeah.
Luffy's got so many rivals at this point. It's kind of like...
Well, that was the thing that was always so good about One Piece is if you go, like, all the way back to when they're still in East Blue, they set up these, you know, extremely powerful people that they would eventually face. And, you know, half of them he's befriended, but whatever. With the Shishibukai and just the Marines in general and everything like that. And that they set all this stuff up so early that it was able to build to it without, after every arc, suddenly pulling out, oh, and here's a stronger enemy. Oh, and here's another stronger enemy.
But he has to work his way through the Pirate Lords first. Then he has the rookies to deal with. Then et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think there's any way... Like, I'm sure Oda's going to find a way to handle all this eventually, but it's not going to work out in the typical shonen way I imagine it's going to.
Well okay, there's the Emperors. Shanks, you can already assume, is going to be on Luffy's side, at least, you know, for...
Barring some
big
plot
picture
twist.
I have my doubts.
Then there's Blackbeard and Big Mom. Blackbeard's probably going to be saved way towards the end. Big Mom's probably going to be the, you know, crocodile of the new world, if you will, will be the first big one that he beats. I'm personally of the opinion that Blackbeard is going to take out Shanks. I think that that's what's going to end up happening.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I'm still not ruling out Shanks and Blackbeard actually being in league with each other.
Because Shanks is just too nice.
Yeah, he's too perfect. There's something going on there. He has no flaws.
Who was the Shichibukai he never ended up fighting? Was it Flamingo?
Yeah, Doflamingo is going to be an enemy.
He's got his own thing going on.
Because he's the pirate should be looting and pillaging as opposed to be seeking adventure. And I think that this is going to be a throwback to... You said you read the Wanted stuff, right, Mike?
Yeah.
In Romance Dawn, they actually don't emphasize it as much as there's a second version of Romance Dawn, which was kind of the one that actually won and let him get One Piece. It's very, very similar to early One Piece. And that's the one that has the female character who is Nami also uses swords and is basically both Nami and Zoro.
Creepy mental image.
But anyway, in that they emphasize, I remember it's Peace Mane, and I don't remember what the other type of it is, but they actually spell out and differentiate between these two types of pirates, the ones who want adventure and the ones that loot and pillage. And Luffy wanted to specifically be the one type, and they kind of dropped using terms for them in the actual series. But I think that the entire Doflamingo and his new age of pirates and that sort of stuff that's being built up is kind of a throwback to that mentality.
Especially since we've seen Doflamingo has his fingers in a lot of pies, because he was in charge of the slave house, wasn't he?
Like, yeah, his logo and, was all over. And Bellamy was one of his guys, too. That was the first time that we ran into him.
Yeah,
in
so
fact,
I think
that was the first death in One Piece. Second death in One Piece.
Yeah.
Was when he killed Bellamy.
First was Belmere, wasn't it?
Hmm?
First was Belmere.
Well, no. Second non-flashback death.
Ah.
The first one that was an actual death, and I only know this fact because there's been this argument how many times over at Penny Arcade, was back in the Alabasta arc. There's one of the Mr. Whatever minions was killed on one of the ships, and the Marines specifically report him as being dead. And so that was the first named character that died, which is kind of funny because he's completely inconsequential. It was like Mr. Seven or something like that.
It's weird how reluctant Oda is to kill off characters.
Well, I think it's that he only wants to kill people off if it progresses the plot, was the statement that he said or something like that, which is why the deaths that there are all tend to be very significant. So like the Pell not being killed, his death wouldn't have made any difference whatsoever to the plot. So he miraculously survived the city-destroying bomb that he happened to be carrying, you know?
That was the point where I think it delved into this parody a little bit.
He survived that,
and it made literally no sense, because it takes away from the power of the bomb a little bit.
Yeah. I like how the joke went from nobody ever dies in One Piece to nobody ever dies in Bleach.
Yeah.
Except the story.
Only the Arrancar. They're the only, like, and Hollows. They're the only ones that ever die. And they don't really die. They just get recycled.
And the last chapter, I guess Ginjo died. And a couple of the other humans. Because that one guy was cut in half, so I'm pretty sure he's not fine.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
Naruto, for all its faults, will make someone's death kind of poignant. Like, Jiraiya's death is probably one of the better moments in the manga.
Yeah, and Asuma's death was a big deal, too. And the third Hokage's death was a big deal. Yeah,
Zabuza and Haku.
He does death well.
Despite, like, doing it pretty often.
I wouldn't necessarily call it often, even.
I'd say probably around once an arc.
What Kishimoto does is he'll kill bad guys
pretty
often. He has no problem just offing the entire cast of the bad guys.
Death is actually a thing.
In One Piece, I think one of the reasons Oda doesn't kill bad guys is he doesn't know when he's going to bring them back. Like, Luffy had all opportunity and rights to kill Buggy. And instead, Buggy ended up being a pretty important part in Impel Down and afterwards. And Crocodile, for that matter, as well.
Yeah, but Buggy is his greatest enemy. You can't kill him.
I think that
I'm glad
it's
that they
I
referenced
think
him.
that it's the one of the strength, because then we can all be looking at this stuff and going, oh man, can't you wait? Just wait for that last final war that'll appear when everybody's around, and it'll be amazing.
I'm glad that they like actually called it the power out when they saw the head that like, is that Buggy? Because I mean, everybody was thinking it,
Yeah.
the legs, except for Luffy, who's the only one who would have really noticed.
Well, no. I don't I think you see the shoes and then you assume it's not Buggy, but
Luffy just thought it was a pair of legs and nothing was wrong with it.
and now he's a centaur.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I'm surprised he didn't ask the legs to join.
So, Mike, you want to talk about stars since that's the new one that you've
Oh, actually,
You read a couple chapters, right?
a long time ago,
Oh, okay.
I was just gonna start it for next week. I think we were all planning on starting a new one.
Yeah, you were gonna start Stars. I was thinking about trying Toriko.
Yeah.
Greg, what anything in particular?
I know absolutely nothing about it. I was actually basically just going off of what's the next one that's been around the longest? So I was gonna take a look at Gintama.
I can vouch that Gintama is really awesome. I've read chapters here and there and watched the anime. It's
Yeah,
super fun.
I have zero idea what it's about.
It's a gag manga, but
Oh, okay.
it's super duper duper funny one. It's kind of like Bo 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 Bo,
That's not necessarily a good thing.
but
I
not as crazy, I guess. A little more coherent.
feel like Bobobo did not work as well in manga, at least a translated manga, than it did
No,
in anime.
the anime is
I think that
fantastic.
Bobobo was the weirdest choice ever for a series to translate and show on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And the amount of
Although I will
localization
say it
that
had a
went into that.
bitchin' opening.
That Bo 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 was impressive as far as localization goes, because they made a lot of that work. Like, that is probably the hard. If I had to say the hardest things to localize, it would be Bo Bo Bo.
See, the
Which
thing
I
about
think.
that is it actually had pretty decent action.
Right.
Yeah, once more, I saw the opening and saw the very beginning of one episode and went, okay, this one might not be for me, but that was an awesome opening.
Oh, it was exactly for me. I love that.
One of the
Battle
things that
with
like
nose hairs.
stymies me about, or not stymies, I guess, it left me guessing as I was continuing reading Beale, is that that manga has no real genre. Like, ostensibly, it's a gag manga, but it's hard to tell if it's like a high school gag or action fight of the week gag, or if it's just trying to subvert every possible trope.
See, I would not call Beale a gag manga. I would call it a very hilarious action fighting manga.
But it boils itself down into like high school drama occasionally.
Well, yeah, but so did Bleach for a little bit there.
Bleach did it badly.
Yes, it did. But,
Was there one more thing we wanted to talk about before the episode's over?
okay, so there has been a proper or popular scanlation site, which is, it scans Jump mangas and
A couple of them, actually,
yeah,
but one major one.
a major one had a cease and desist given to them by Viz to drop all their Jump stuff. So they did kind of passive aggressively, and
Yeah.
we're not going to name it because we're on iTunes, hooray. But we're going to try to do our best to talk about this. It seems like Viz is probably just protecting its own, its business model, but I can totally see the Scanulator's point.
From what I understand, Viz just launched a Shonen Jump Alpha, and on their forums for it, they had to keep deleting many topics of why would you pay for this? I can just go here, and linking to that site just over and over and over every single day.
Geniuses.
Yeah, so that is why that site was specifically targeted, from
I
what I
did see a
understand.
lot of comments on their first on Shonen Jump Alpha's first issue where people were complaining about why would you guys do that? You're such jerks. And I think that the general reaction of, oh, this is such a mean thing to do is somewhat entitled, I suppose.
Yeah. People want things for
Because I mean,
free.
th th this is a product, and To be fair, a lot of the reason that I think that a lot of people get into reading it and whatnot through these various websites is because it's very easy to find summaries or spoilers of things that you might be interested in down the line if you wait the 2-3 years that it typically takes for translations to occur. Now, the fact that Shonen Jump Alpha is only, it's, well, 2.5 weeks behind, by which we mean it's 2 weeks behind the official release. So for those of you who are not aware, yes, the websites are typically putting them up before street date in Japan, which is how bad this the internet industry, if you will, has gotten.
It's just how much of a hard place this is stuck between.
Yeah. So, I mean, waiting 2 weeks is kind of a pain in the butt because all of these spoilers and everything else is available online. And if you're talking about it with friends and they've already read it and you haven't, it's kind of getting into this difficult spot for the fans in the first place. Now, one of the things that happened was they went through this with anime, with Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece in particular, where they have basically gotten into simulcasting. So the fan subs, I'm sure that they still exist, but most people have stopped bothering because originally Naruto and Bleach were coming out a week after the Japan one, but that's actually been cut down to, if I'm not mistaken, 3 days after they air. One Piece is actually 1 hour, if I'm not mistaken, after it airs in Japan. It's posted up on One Piece official, One Piece's official website in English. And this happened because there was the support and people stopped going to the fan subs and that sort of stuff. And it was shown that, yes, this is a business model which can be supported. So one of the things that I will say is if people actually do go and purchase Shonen Jump Alpha, the translators and everything else like that have actually spoken about they want to show that this is a viable business model. And if that is the case, more series will be picked up, so we could possibly see Beals get picked up by it. And they will also, I would assume, try to pull in the amount of delay between the official release and when Shonen Jump Alpha gets it.
That delay is probably the hardest part. Like, you would probably, if they, I'm saying this wishfully, I suppose, but if they manage to get a 1 or 2 day lead time, I suppose, then there would be no complaints, because it's not a bad price. People listening to this probably listen to Giant Bomb, and they pay more for that per month than they would for Shonen Jump.
Yeah, it's $26 a year.
Yeah, it's not awful. Then it's just this kind of thing, like even this podcast is based on the idea that we get these mangas or manga chapters early.
Yeah, or at least on time.
Right.
You know, to keep up with current discussion.
Yeah, if we were 2.5 weeks late, nobody would listen.
That's the problem is, you know, it's a chicken egg thing of they need more people to shorten the delays, but people want to be part of the discussion now, you know, actually talk about new chapters. I mean, if they, hopefully enough people can get it so they can get that down, because a couple day delay isn't going to be too bad, but when you're asking people to wait 2 weeks to talk about anything, it gets a little hard.
They need to start working with Shonen Jump, like actually working with our magazine itself to co-translate those things as they're going to print.
Like,
which
presumably
is basically what is done with One Piece anime at this point. So it's not unheard of.
Like get the scripts beforehand.
Yeah.
Like
And actually, isn't Viz Media in America owned by the same company that owns Jump?
Possibly.
Wouldn't surprise me.
They do get a lot of Jump stuff.
Yeah. But if you want to hear more about this, actually, if you go to onepiecepodcast.com in the most recent episode that they have, there's actually a discussion panel, if you will, with the translator of that website, which shall not be named, and Viz's Shonen Jump Alpha's translator as well. And the two of them talk about the issue. So there's some good info there.
And I guess we should say we really encourage people to go and buy the things that they are consuming.
Yeah. A Shonen Jump account is cheap.
That's the only way that they keep making it. If everyone takes it for free, they stop making it. So
I feel like we may run into a situation eventually, like Bandai did with anime, where they just decided to stop bringing it here.
Yeah, they said F it, and now
granted, their business
coming.
Yeah, their business model is completely broken, but it didn't really help that people were downloading subs all the time.
Is this where I push the article that I wrote on Nitrobeard?
Yes, you should.
Yeah, go for it.
I wrote an article on Nitrobeard about this.
Nitrobeard.com.
Which you probably know about because you're listening to it from there.
Possibly.
But yeah, it's... I mean, I can understand where Viz is coming from because they just went through all this work to launch this Shonen Jump thing. And Jump manga is I'm guessing it's the most popular stuff for Scanlations.
Yeah.
Like, that's not unsafe.
Well, they
guess.
Tend to be the most well-known series in general.
Can you imagine if it was your job to get this running and you get this crazy thing running and the first thing that happens is people just start linking to free stuff? I mean,
I think that it would have been relatively classy, if you will, if the website had done back in the day when I actually still watched the Naruto anime. The most popular subber for that was Datebayo, and they voluntarily dropped all of their torrents once the relative simulcast came out, because basically they said, this is what we've been wanting, a legal means to be able to get it in a reasonable amount of time compared to Japan.
That's the thing that happens, is you need to hit a reset button, you know, so that, I mean, if everyone, you know, in English-speaking countries that reads the scanlated manga got 2 weeks behind, then the two-week delay wouldn't matter. But the thing is, because it's out there, people are going to seek it out.
Yeah, I wonder if they're just, like, if the problem just completely originates with Jump. If they're giving Viz scanlations or scans late, and Viz has to work from zero to get the translations, 2 weeks is admirable, but it's too late.
This is one of the things which, if I'm not mistaken, is discussed in the podcast, and that, yes, the two-week delay is from the parent company itself.
Yeah, from what I understand, they don't want Americans to get it as quick because that could hurt their sales somehow.
There are times of
I suppose it's possible that people in Japan are, you know, they can read English well enough that...
But, I mean, these RAWs are in Japanese, and those are getting up anyway, so...
Yeah.
I mean, if it ends up to the point where Shonen Jump manga is pretty much chased off all these scanlation sites, it's just going to be people are going to read the spoilers, then they're not really going to pay for the manga.
I mean, that's kind of what the site that shall not be named did. They just put up a big picture with spoilers all over it.
Well, to be fair, though, they did not keep the archive of the entire series like a lot of places do. I think that they kept the 5 most recent chapters. Like, yes. To a certain degree, they were better about this than a lot of other places.
They were pretty respectful of them.
And one thing, I haven't verified this myself. People were telling me once Viz did this, or put their cease and desist in, that Viz themselves tends to censor some manga. Like, the example given was when Boa Hancock showed up, they drew a shirt over her, or under her vest thing.
Right.
Which, yeah, I mean, if they're doing that, I can understand why people are getting a little angry, because they need to present the best possible version.
Well, I don't necessarily know best possible. Present it in its original format.
Right. They can't be going through and censoring things and then pretending like other sites are kind of stepping on what they do.
Because don't be 4 kids.
Yes.
Well, it's also a cultural thing. What's aimed at 10-year-olds over there might be a little too risque for 10-year-olds over here.
But I don't think 10-year-olds are the one who are subscribing to Shonen Jump.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, it's 14, 14, 15.
If it's outright nudity, I can see why they would change it. But if it's just a little risque, then they need to think hard about their audience and what they're willing to pay for.
Maybe that's why Beals hasn't been picked up yet in Shonen Jump Alpha.
So many diapers.
Well, there's so many jokes based around the fact that he's naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could easily
like when the body switch happened, which was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
I would be fine if they went with the route of putting a very obviously photoshopped in leaf over him every time.
You know, I would be fine with that too.
Didn't they do that for Dragon Ball?
It was a little bush that, like, sprouted up from the ground, and, I mean, it was very obvious that...
I remember watching the anime when it came to America, and there was a scene where Goku uses Bulma's panties as fishing bait and like pulls it up, and it's they photoshopped the panties as dollar bills and made an awful like fish full of dollars joke.
No, the best one was when they were fighting the Invisible Man and they pulled down Bulma's panties and Master Roshi's blood from his nose sprayed all over the Invisible Man. And they changed it to Krillin opening a can of tomato juice. So they had this very crudely drawn picture, like super close up of a hand opening a can of tomato juice, trying to match the Dragon Ball animation style, and then the red stuff just pouring all over the guy.
Wow.
It was pretty amazingly.
See, if we go back to that kind of like 90s mentality with manga, then I think scanlators are never going to stop.
Yeah.
That's kind of why it started in the first place.
Right, because you couldn't, like, the original Dragon Ball manga as it was released was completely terrible when it came to America. Like, they had to issue an apology and reissue the manga. And I feel like...
Basically, it boils down to, you look how hard a time One Piece has been having in the United States compared to the rest of the world, purely thanks to 4Kids, you're doing that.
With Lollipop Sanji.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't mind the lollipop, it was the voice.
Yeah.
Well,
unfortunately
yes, the voice, the guns being edited to be spring hammers or water guns, you know.
See, it's you have to position like if you're only making kids manga or kids anime like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, you shouldn't bring out One Piece.
You don't think like 4Kids should license Death Note and then edit that to hell?
I'd actually love to see that.
It's a book where he writes who he wants to be friends with in it.
There's not much gore in Death Note, really.
Yeah, you could bait. Yeah, you could edit Death Note.
There's a couple things, like the guys getting hit by cars. And...
Well, you edit that out. But yeah. You could say, like, the book just makes people disappear and edit out every scene of death. You could make that work.
Life Note.
It would be a much shorter series.
So probably better. And on that note, speaking of shorter things, we're running a little long, so I guess we should wrap it up here.
Yeah, we're not doing good at being a half an hour podcast.
At some point, I was like, okay, it's just going to be 40 minutes to an hour. Then it just, every time, it's getting a little bit longer.
What are we at now?
An hour 10?
Yeah, that's about normal.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, wrap it up.
Anything else you guys want to say? Out of the treaties on anime
we're
or manga?
We're going to have to hold each other to our reading new manga thing, force each other to read it.
And of course, I chose the hardest assignment.
Yep.
The longest one.
I chose the shortest one.
How long is Toriko? I never actually bothered to check.
That's 100-something.
Yeah, it's 200s, 300s, I think.
300. I was kind of one disappointed second. In like that Beale was not a little bit further. Because I was reading it, and I got to the segment. It was like, okay, there's not a new Beale chapter left. I was like, oh, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's a shame. And let's see. Toriko is 173. Is the most. Yeah. Oh, sorry. So I guess 175.
I can do that. That's
I went
easy.
To Shonen Jump Alpha and checked to see what the most recent Toriko chapter was.
Meanwhile, Stars is like 27 or something. So. Got like one good evening of reading. And I'm done.
Yeah, I'm just going to come out and say it. I am not going to be caught up in Gintama.
Nope. How many chapters? That is probably...
It's 500 something, I think.
Hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah, One Piece alone is like 650. And that took me a couple of weeks.
Let's see, 41 to current. Oh, okay, it's not quite up to 400 yet, so it's 388.
That's not awful. I mean, it's kind of awful, but
yeah,
not as bad. And on that note, guys, thank you for coming. This
no
has
problem.
Been your
no problem at all.
Thursday, February 16th podcast. We'll be back next week, hopefully. Until then, support your local manga companies.
Do it.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, hey. They've actually added a new method to purchase Shonen Jump Alpha 2. It's a single issue for a month. One Piece.
愛のもと熱に浮かされ感じを取るのさ誇りかぶってた宝の地図も確かめたのなら伝説じゃない個人的な嵐は誰かのバイオリズムの勝手踊り過ごせばいいありたけの夢をかき集め
I'm going to close it Which out is... that way because that sounds like the worst advertisement ever. It's like we're infomercialing that.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just going to put it like the like, huh, that's pretty good, and just end it.
Abruptly.
I was assuming we had stopped recording.